Atheist Talk on KTNF, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. Today is Sunday, September 9th, 2018. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio today with Ash Phoenix. Ash is co-founder of Satanic Twin Cities, where both her and I also both serve on the Strategic Council. Thanks for joining me today, Ash.
Happy to be here.
I invited Ash on today to chat with a very special guest, Lucian Greaves. Lucian is co-founder and spokesperson for the Satanic Temple. He is arguably the most outspoken contemporary Satanist, quite possibly in the world, and has gained international attention as a strong advocate for religious liberty and Satanic Reformation. He has been delivering major lectures at universities, spoken at national atheist conferences, and has been a frequent guest on major media outlets such as CNN, Rolling Stone, and many, many others, including two fantastic debates with Tucker Carlson of Fox News, where Lucian did a marvelous job of making Tucker sound even more ridiculous than normal. Mr. Greaves, thank you so much for joining us on the 9th of September at 9 a.m. Because, of course, 999 in the upside down world is 666, making this the most obvious day to have you on.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Although this is Atheist Talk, we do have quite a few Christian listeners and even some socially conservative atheists, both of whom may have some misconceptions about what and who the Satanic Temple is. As the official spokesperson and co-founder, can you take a few minutes to maybe share the religious views of the organization that you helped to create? Did we lose you?
Oh, here I am.
Oh, wonderful. So did you catch, I just was wondering if you could take a few minutes to maybe share some of the religious views of the Satanic Temple.
Oh, sorry. All I had there for a moment was silence.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I guess we dropped off. Technical difficulties can be a real pain in the butt. I would say they're a pain in the something else, but, you know, we are on the radio, so I guess I can't say that.
Oh, good to know. Well, I guess the first thing that people should be made clear to people is that we're a non-theistic religious organization, so we don't venerate a personal Satan. We view this metaphorically as a contextual mythical backdrop for our works and our goals, our ethics, and our sense of community values and things of that type. That seems to be a real sticking point for a lot of people and makes them debate our religious authenticity. That's a much larger question, I guess, and could probably itself fill volumes. But my feeling is that non-theistic religion is really the way of the future. People are going to culturally identify with religions, and they're still going to identify with the rites and practices of the religious organizations that resonate best with them, even if it's the ones that they grew up in. But I think more and more as time goes on, people are going to be less willing, hopefully, to identify with the superstitions that are intellectually insulting and really can't hold up to scrutiny and people just can't maintain any longer.
You know, I was chatting with somebody who actually stopped me on the street about a month ago, which was weird because I was wearing a TST shirt and he had to stop me. And I'm a non-passing trans woman, so I do raise a lot of eyebrows depending on where I go. And this was the first time I'd ever actually been stopped. And we're having this debate and he was like asking me about it. And I was explaining, you know, this is, you know, the way I understand what TST is, which sounds a bit like what you just described. And I was like, you know, really, if you think about it, all religions are atheistic religions because I don't believe a God exists anyway.
Oh, right. And I've really lost the ability to conceal what I do or what I believe at this point. We get a lot of T-shirts with our merchandise, and I usually have one of the T-shirts from each print run we do. So I have a lot of TS T-shirts, and I'm always walking around wearing this stuff. And if I'm sitting on a plane or whatever and people ask what I do, I just don't have it in me anymore to tell them anything other than the truth. And I've even lost track of how people respond to this.
I'm picturing like you just like having to educate like shocked people over and over who really shouldn't be shocked, because like if you sat down in like, I don't know, the religious Eastern Orthodox garb next to them, they'd be like, oh, okay, well, you know, you're a Catholic, no big deal, I'm not worried about it. But like you sit down with like this other religion, you know, TST, and it's like, oh, you guys are terrible. And it's like, have you seen the Catholic Church lately? Like, we're the ones that are terrible.
Well, I've lost sense of the shock. You know, it's just the world I'm in every day. So I think I'm getting further and further removed, I guess, from humanity as time goes on and all this. And I just don't even know what's shocking anymore.
Is there a story to the founding and the creation of the Satanic Temple that you're able to share?
Oh, well, yeah, sure, I can.
Well, I just assume there's probably some stories you're like, you know, I'm not sharing that story. I'll share this one, but I'm not sharing that one.
Well, no, there's only one real story to it. This being a public person was never something I would have willingly done. I kind of fell into it, but I was in Cambridge, and I met with somebody who ended up being the other co-founder. And he wanted to do a film project, and it had to do with religious liberty and things like that. He wanted to do some kind of documentary or whatever. But the more we talked, and at that time I already identified as a Satanist and had my entire adult life, the idea was, you know, Satanists pushing for religious liberty on the same grounds that that, you know, evangelical religious groups push for religious liberty, and to see just exactly where the hypocrisy ended and where religious liberty would actually be endorsed on an equal playing field by all parties. And so I really wanted to consult on this. I wanted Satanism to be represented correctly, and I thought this was a great kind of bit of activist filmmaking. So it was under those auspices that the Satanic Temple was formed. But the idea was that we would do this kind of film project and show people what they could do and show people, kind of underscore this hypocrisy of the religious liberty groups, and also helpfully motivate self-identified Satanists to kind of fight this battle. And we, at the time, we thought that the film project would be central to kind of getting that message out. And then the Satanic Temple could kind of be like Anonymous, where you would have this kind of decentralized organization and people locally could kind of act under the name of the Satanic Temple, and different forms of the Satanic Temple would manifest, you know, some probably with separate types of belief systems, even, you know, different sets of values. But there'd probably be that, we assume there'd be that core value of just kind of fighting for their right to be recognized on the terms they wanted to be recognized as. But as soon as we started working on this, really, people started, as soon as we did our first kind of public action, the Rick Scott rally, where in Florida they were endorsing a bill to allow prayer in school, and we were trying to underscore the unintended consequences of endorsing this bill on the grounds that this benefited satanic children, people started reaching out to us and really wanted to identify with the Satanic Temple. And it didn't take long. It was about the Pink Mass, where we kind of counter-protested the Westboro Baptist Church, and my face was on it and things like that. And people kind of wanted to identify with us, affiliate with us, and didn't seem interested in kind of starting their own Satanic Temple offshoots or whatever else. So we kind of did centralize, and being that I became central to it and away from this role of kind of being a consultant, I no longer wanted anything to do with any film project either. This kind of needed to be done more on my terms for me to have anything to do with it at all, and I was already in kind of too deep. So the film project was scrapped entirely, but it was still going to be more of a side project for me. And I still kind of hoped that as Lucian Greaves, I could stay, have a certain amount of anonymity and live a relatively normal life. But that just didn't work out at all.
I would say, how's that working for you? We only have about a minute left in this first segment. But like as you talk about that, I guess what I almost hear is like a shining example of what a grassroots organization can like become and achieve. Because like from where you started to where you are now, and it sounds like where you're at now is nothing like what you had planned on becoming at when you had on the onset.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, try to paint us as, because this is kind of out in the open that this is the way it went down. And some people kind of like to forward the notion that it really undermines our authenticity, that we didn't have the audacity from the very beginning to think that we would grow and expand this large that fast. But to be clear, the film project was always activist filmmaking. The intended purpose was really quite the same as anything we've always done. We just felt that was our one option, really, of trying to get the message out before we had the following that we have now.
Yeah, I would imagine most people don't say, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to start a religion. Like, all right, we're going to go into a break. Please stay with us for the break. We'll return with our guest, Lucian Greaves. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is a direct, smart, and I gotta promise you, a fearless progressive talk show. Join me, Mike Papantonio, my co-host Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Sam Cedar, as we take on the large corporate conglomerates and that radical right-wing media that dominate America's airwaves. Ring of Fire, Saturdays from 3 to 6 and Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 950. It is the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Well, Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio with the co-founder of Satanic Twin Cities, Ash Phoenix, and joined via phone by spokesperson and co-founder of the Satanic Temple, Lucian Greaves. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to let listeners know that in 2 weeks, Seth Andrews will be in studio with us, and immediately following will be joining us for brunch at Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. And then later in the afternoon, Seth will be speaking at the monthly meeting of Minnesota Atheists. Head over to mnatheist.org for all the details and to register, as space is limited. If you're interested in getting involved in the conversation we're having today, the phone number is 952-946-6205. If you'd rather, you can email us at radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or leave a comment on the Facebook post for this episode over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. Whew, that's like way too much stuff for me to read. thanks for sitting on hold with us, Lucian.
My pleasure.
So getting back, we were talking about, you were talking about like how TST kind of started almost just with activism. And honestly, like one of the main reasons I became a member of TST in large part was the amount of activism that TST does in keeping religion and government separate, defending bodily autonomy, and protecting the rights of women. Were these things that you had in mind as far as your activism, like as TST started to grow?
Oh, yeah. I think people would be amazed how much of this we had in mind from the very start. We did a lecture at Harvard about modern Satanism before we even did the Pink Mass. And I think back on that now, and a lot of the planning we had done sounded kind of far-flung, far-reaching. But we followed through on all of it. At that time, we stood up before an audience that was really just interested in the topic of Satanism. We talked about the forthcoming Baphomet campaign for our monument that we've created to be placed alongside Ten Commandments monuments on public property, where we're fighting litigation in Arkansas right now. We talked about the reproductive rights campaigns and a number of other things that we've ultimately followed through on. And it's been, you know, these things have necessarily taken many, many years. In fact, we only now got a ruling from Missouri on our first reproductive rights case that went to the state Supreme Court. But that those types of things, like I said, had been planning like good solid 5 years ago. And even though the Missouri Supreme Court upheld the lower court's dismissal of our suit, it had nothing to do with our legal arguments. It was only on technicality of standing. We have two more suits moving forward. And the standing issue was, of course, that we hadn't filed the suit when the plaintiff in that case, in that particular case, was pregnant. So they're saying it was a moot point. We have two other cases still in play where they were both filed when the plaintiffs were pregnant. So we'll see how that works out. And we're fighting against abortion restrictions in Missouri in those cases. And in Arkansas, you know, they put up a Ten Commandments monument on the Capitol grounds. They said that this was an open forum, essentially a free speech zone, the Capitol grounds. So any private donation of a monument would be equally considered, supposedly. But we found that wasn't the case. In a clear case of religious or viewpoint discrimination, they turned down our monument in favor of the Ten Commandments monument. We're all but certain, of course, that the Ten Commandments monument will come down and will be victorious in that case.
Yeah, just for clarification, you would rather see the Ten Commandments monument come down and have no religious monuments there. But if they're going to keep the Ten Commandments monument up, then they need to be free and equality among all religious views. Is that a good summation?
I'm not sure which I prefer. Honestly, if the Ten Commandments monument is there and they allow a satanic monument to go on the same grounds, I don't really think there is a problem, except for the fact that then I guess they're just dealing with space restrictions then.
First come,
you know,
first serve.
How many religious monuments can you possibly have? You can't represent them all, you know. But that's a door they opened. I think it's a little less tenable to expect that that everybody can have placements, but once they open the door on an issue like religion, they really can't pick and choose. So I think it makes more sense for the state just to take the Ten Commandments monument down than to say, okay, we're accepting your monument, sure. But what we're really avoiding is the worst-case scenario of one religious voice having exclusive privilege and at least the appearance of having co-opted the power and the authority of the state government.
No, yeah, I hear you completely there. We actually, I don't know how there was the Veterans Memorial here in Belle Plaine, Minnesota, that TSD commissioned. I guess I don't know if the memorial piece was ever actually built, but I saw at least artist rendering. Yeah, it was a gorgeous monument.
Yeah, well, it's in our Salem headquarters right now, but that was a particularly irksome case because with the Baphomet monument, we had that constructed, and then we made our legal cases first towards Oklahoma, where they took down their Ten Commandments monument, and now towards Arkansas. But in the case of Belle Plaine, Minnesota, where they already had a Christian memorial on these public grounds, but to be clear, that was never approved. My understanding is the city council, the local government over there, never approved for this this Christian Veterans Memorial to be erected. Somebody just dumped it there. And then after it had been there a few months, they claimed it was some kind of, it had some kind of standing. It was some kind of landmark then. It was dumped there. It had been there for more than 24 hours, so therefore it couldn't be taken away or whatever. But the Freedom From Religion Foundation, on behalf of a local, complained. And then it went to the city council, should we take this down or what should we do? Some evangelical litigation group thought they were clever and said, well, you can open this up as a free speech zone. And, you know, other people can put veterans memorials as well, and it will allow the Christian memorial to stay. So that's what they did. So then we applied to put up our memorial, which had very specific parameters. And that's important because it's not likely we can use this monument for anything else because it had certain size restrictions. It had, it had to have something to do with Belle Plaine itself. So it has a plaque on it, dedicating it specifically to Belle Plaine veterans. And so we got permission from Belle Plaine to erect our monument before we had it built. So we had it built, we raised the funds to do this, we went through the efforts to get this all done, and then only at the point where we were telling Belle Plaine that we were ready to dedicate this monument, we're ready to put it on the public grounds, did they then go back into the city council and say, okay, we're killing the free speech zone. And, you know, some people have argued with us that we should leave it alone there. I really felt it was important to litigate this, which we're in the process of doing now, finally, after a good year since they shut us out. But I don't think we can let it stand where we have governments, these localities deciding that they've opened a free speech zone when they have no intention of keeping it free.
I'm going to have to catch up. We're about to go into a break here.
Only shutting it down at the point where we call them on their...
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Paul Metzger inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today will be sunny with a high near 73, while tonight's mostly clear with a low around 53. Tomorrow's partly sunny with a high near 75. Tuesday mostly sunny with a high near 80. And Wednesday partly sunny with a high near 82. Break away from the ordinary and find a list of one-of-a-kind local restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com. Great spots for date nights, evenings with friends, or business occasions. Support your local restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm Maddie Love in studio this week with Ash Phoenix and joined by phone the Satanic Temple co-founder and spokesperson Lucian Greaves. Before we continue with our conversation, we need to take a moment to thank our sponsors. All of us at Atheist Talk are asking for your help in keeping secular voices on the public airways and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheist and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise in this program and keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of people like you. If you're able to help with a donation, you can do so over at our Radio Fund page or by becoming a patron. You can sign up for as little as $1 an episode over at patreon.com/atheisttalk and listen to all of our extended interviews, discussions, and skullduggery, where the FCC isn't able to apply its antiquated religious restrictions on what words we use. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. When we say we couldn't do this show without you, we really do mean it, and we are truly grateful for all of your contributions. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael David. With that, mischief managed, back to the conversation with Lucian Greaves. And Lucian, I'm so sorry that I had to cut you off at that break.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
The Bell Plain thing, it's like such a, you know, here in Minnesota, or yeah, especially in the Twin Cities, that was like... That was like the battle like I first became aware of, like the Satanic Temple doing things here in state. And I was like, yes, this is fantastic. Like, it's more than just, I mean, the FFRF is fantastic. And but it's like, I feel like when the Satanic Temple shows up, people are like, oh, fine, I guess we have to like acknowledge our religious hypocrisy now.
I mean, the Belle Plaine Monument is one of the things that made me more active within TST. And hey, Lucian, it's Ash. You've been quiet, just kind of absorbing everything you've been saying. But, I mean, I've been a member since Pink Mass, and I saw you guys work in Belle Plaine, and I'm just like, now I really need to get active and back in the group here. So.
Yeah, we really have to appreciate. I mean, I haven't lost sense of the fact that I'm on the East Coast. I'm in one of the most liberal areas in the world, and if people recognize me out on the street, it's only a positive thing. I really have to give credit to our representatives in the South and the Midwest and other places where the fight is daily and very real, you know. And I met with somebody from Belle Plaine who came out to Salem to see our headquarters not very long ago, and she had tears in her eyes for what had taken place in Belle Plaine. She was a Belle Plaine resident and local, but to her it was, you know, it meant so very much. And, you know, you contrast that against sometimes the way the press handles us as a massive prank, a massive PR ploy, or whatever they think it is that's going on here, you know, whatever they think it is that we've dedicated our lives to and our livelihoods, that it could be that as whimsical as all that. It's nice to know that some people really get it and are in the fight with us.
Speaking of media coverage, do you feel like, on whole, like the media coverage of TST has been fair?
Usually it is, I have to say. I mean, usually the facts surrounding what we do are presented rather clearly. The rally we had recently, I thought, was a bit different. There was a lot of irresponsible reporting there, and also I think consistently the kind of bad reporting we deal with is when people kind of try to speak to our motives. The overuse of the word trolling, you know, the idea that this is just sheer pranksterism and things like that. That there's not a deeper message to it. And to be clear, I don't object to pranksterism, but the idea that pranksterism isn't a tactic towards a greater end, but it is its own activity in and of itself for its own purpose is rather misguided, I think.
Well, and the fact that you would dedicate your entire life to a prank is kind of like, really? Would he really do that?
Well, I think people don't realize the amount of work we do. So I have to realize each time an article comes up about us or each time we do an activity, a new group of people are hearing about it. So to them, it might feel like it's kind of a one-off or whatever else. It might seem a bit more plausible to them that we are just kind of pulling a prank. But there's been a documentary in the works about us for the past couple of years, which, of course, I haven't seen. We're not, you know, a separate director's working on it, but she's very good. I've seen her other films. I know they've gotten a lot of great material, and they've seen us hard at work in the past couple of years. They've been there through the kind of thick and the thin, and they were there at the rally recently we had in Arkansas, where we were kind of, it felt to me, surrounded by gunmen, you know, in the deep South, putting forward a very unpopular argument. And I have high hopes that when that comes out, people will have a clearer perspective of who we are.
So have you noticed, I'm really happy when you said that the person doing the documentary you think is somebody upstanding, because, like, lately when I hear that, hey, I just watched this documentary and something, it's like, oh, it's not really a documentary, it's an op-ed piece. So I'm happy to hear this is a good person. But have you noticed a change in media coverage covering the Satanic Temple, like, as you've become more visible?
No, not really. The real problem is that the media is just not given to complex issues right now. So we have a campaign called Gray Faction, where, you know, it's a long-standing kind of initiative of ours, where we're fighting back against improper mental health care treatment, therapeutic tactics that helped contribute to the satanic panic of the 80s and 90s, recovered memory therapies, therapy related to multiple personality disorder, now known as dissociative identity disorder, and the kind of pseudosciences that have attached to that. And that's really been a focus of a lot of our efforts, but it's almost impossible to get media coverage about, because it's a more complicated topic than can be summarized within a headline. It's just not as clickbaity, and where it's clickbaity, it demands a lot of fact-checking. And right now, the media is such where journalists just aren't doing those kinds of long-form pieces that demand a lot of fact-checking and demand that a journalist really know the difference between the legitimacy of claims we're making as opposed to claims professionals we're going up against are making. So some of the more complicated things we work on just don't get coverage at all. Whereas, you know, if we're doing something kind of bombastic and really visible, something that can be summarized in a headline, we just find that the journalists seem to be working on two-hour deadlines now. And that's just where we're at overall. This isn't just a matter of how the Satanic Temple is represented. This is a matter of how media now works in the clickbait environment.
Yeah, when I first saw the Gray Faction, stuff about the Gray Faction, because I was oblivious of that until I started, like, actually looking to join, I was like, yes. Like, I'm in the healthcare field. One of my big soapbox issues is standing up for science-based medicine. And I guess what frustrates me so much about having, like, the need for the Gray Faction is that, like, when you say you're like, going up against professionals, but you're taking the scientific medical consensus. That's the side you're on. And it's like if you're fighting against these, for lack of a better term, quack medical professionals. At least that's from the outside, that's what I see.
Yeah, no, and I think that's correct. We are really taking the view that is empirically supported and that I think the majority of people in the field take. The problem is they're just not enforcing against this kind of fringe group, and they've kind of fallen through the cracks. And it's, I think there's kind of a prevalent feeling that if you go up against them, you're likely to be slandered as endorsing child abuse. And somebody listening from the outside will wonder how that happens. But when it comes to contesting the notion of repressed memories and or at least the effectiveness of drawing forth those memories through hypnosis, which, of course, experimental studies have shown, science has kind of confirmed, that these methods of trying to recover memories lead to confabulations and false memories more often than not, if they ever recover any legitimate memories at all. And really, the practice should be banned. But when you go up against this, you have people claiming that all they're saying is that sexual abuse is traumatic, because it's usually traumatic memories of sexual abuse that they're saying are repressed. And if you're saying anything otherwise, well, then you're just trying to cover up for the fact that abuse happens. And this goes even further than, you know, where they have conspiracy theories attached to these repressed memories. Illuminati mind control, you know, satanic ritual abuse, things like that. And so you can go from people claiming that there's a new world order. You can give the lie to that claim, and then people will claim that you're endorsing child abuse from there. And it's actually been effective in shutting down criticism, at least within the professional field.
Yeah, and that is so... As a healthcare professional, and like I said, that's my soapbox, is like standing up to quack medical stuff. I mean, that is so frustrating, because like it's demonstrated, we have proof of real harm that these repressed memories and stuff, these false repressed memories have done, like where people have gone to jail for 20 years and then they get exonerated or they've lost their livelihoods. I mean, all this stuff that happened in the late 80s and early 90s of people's lives being destroyed by this just junk science that has been thoroughly discredited, and to see that it's not just gone is really disheartening.
Well, it's not only the people who end up being accused of having abused people where they've probably never abused anybody before, because based on the recovered memory claim that somebody suddenly remembered that they had been abused by that person. But imagine somebody who has been abused and is traumatized, and they go into one of these quack therapist's office, and the quack therapist is telling them, oh, no, there must be much more in your mind. And then they start feeding them crippling delusions rather than a perspective that will help them pull through this kind of trauma. To me, that's a real crime against humanity, and it's intolerable that it's still accepted in the mental health profession today.
Yeah, it just that doesn't help you grow. It's like when somebody who's grieving is told by a psychic that you can talk to their loved one, like you never get that chance to like go through the proper therapy or the proper grieving process or the things that you need to do to make yourself more healthy. We are just about to go into a break, but when we come back, if you can, I was hoping you could tell us a bit about this new TST channel, A Satanic Space, that I saw a trailer for. But we are going to head into a break. This is Maddie Love in studio with Ash Phoenix. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week we talk about how millennials are buying homes centered around their pets, layoffs in the mortgage market, and the usefulness of the new Satori Niche program.
Check us out for more information. Email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm Maddie Love in studio this week with my good friend Ash Phoenix from Satanic Twin Cities. And we're chatting with spokesperson and co-founder of the Satanic Temple, Lucian Greaves. So Lucian, before we went into the break, I had mentioned something about, it's called the Satanic Space. I saw a trailer on YouTube, but that is the extent of my knowledge. Are you able to shed any additional light or whet our appetites?
Yeah, the Satanic Space is something we're doing in collaboration with an online streaming platform called VidiSpace. And Satanic Space is going to be our own channel on VidiSpace with its own URL. So it's kind of its own separate thing, where we'll be able to live stream events from across the nation that are attached to chapter activity or other Satanic Temple activity. We'll be able to put our own professionally produced documentaries and regular shows and podcasts on that platform. And we have the resources available through VidiSpace, the professional editing equipment, camera gear, trained professionals who will help us kind of put all this together to put on the platform. And we also want the platform to be able to accommodate, and it will, it can accommodate real-time chat along with the live streaming and other kind of chat and communication functions, maybe individual chapter blogs, blogs of our own, other types of information we want to post. And we're really hoping to move people's activity, Satanic Temple activity at least, more and more away from the toxic environment of Facebook and other standard mega social media platform activity to something that that builds more of a sense of community, we think. We think this is really the way to go about it, and we have high hopes for it. It rolls out on Halloween, where we'll be live streaming our activities that night from our Salem headquarters. And we have a lot of other kind of stuff we've produced in advance that we can dump on the platform at the same time. Because of the cost that goes into this, there's going to be it's either going to be subscription-based or people can see these things via payment one item at a time. You know, you can kind of have that a la carte menu, and if you just want to watch one thing, you can just watch that. But we really hope that this model will help kind of sustain our activities and build a sense of community at the same time. And we'll see how it goes. It's kind of a big experiment, but I kind of think and hope that that this is kind of an evolution away from what we know as social media now, and a new way for subcultures to kind of collect online, even when they're at a great geographical distance from one another.
So it's like Satanic Amazon Prime, but without my racist uncle. I don't know if that's a good description. But I like the idea that I can either subscribe to the whole thing and watch whatever I want, or just like, hey, you know what? I'm short on funds, but you know, I really want to see that video, or I really want to see that talk. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, and it gives an opportunity for us, working with the VidiSpace crew, to elaborate campaigns of ours or projects. And of course, one of the first things we did was put together material about Gray Faction, to put together our own kind of hour-long Gray Faction documentary, just to explain what we're doing, what this means for mental health care, and who we're really up against, as well as showing some of our activities in protesting at the conferences where people who endorse these pseudoscientific ideas are congregated. So in that way, I kind of feel like we can bypass the media in a way and get the message out ourselves. And I'm really happy that we have the opportunity to do that. Not many people can really enlist the support of professional film crews on demand like that. But the monetization structure is such that, you know, VidiSpace gets a piece of it to make up the cost as well. And hopefully it can sustain itself. We'll see.
Does it help, like, when, I guess I don't know how much TST is involved in creating the stuff that's going to go on the channel, the content, but does it help, like, when you're able to, I mean, obviously pay people, but have the people that you're paying be invested at all, like going, hey, I like what you guys are doing here. You guys are doing really good work. I mean, does that make it easier to recruit's the wrong word, but like, you know, to get people together to create this content?
Oh, for us, it's the only way. We're in a position where, because of who we are, pretty much the only people who will work with us are the people who really believe in what we're doing. Nobody's neutral on working with the Satanic Temple. You know, so we were approached by people at Bitty Space, the owner of Bitty Space, and she put the company together, and she lost some of her employees, from what I understand, just from coming into partnership with the Satanic Temple. We have situations where lawyers won't represent us because of who we are, which is just incredible to me. Insurance companies won't insure us because we're the Satanic Temple. That's where we're at right now with our after-school Satan clubs, which we put in place to kind of combat evangelical after-school clubs and schools to offer an alternative. We just can't get insurance coverage for it right now. So on a project like this, on having the online streaming platform, you can be pretty sure that the people we're working with must be supportive of us.
So have you considered reaching out to, I hear Jeff Sessions is putting together a religious liberty task force. I'm sure he'd be interested in supporting the religious liberty of TSD members.
Well, believe me, we're keeping close track of the language being used and the intentions that are being put forward, the claims regarding those intentions. And we plan on exploiting those arguments for sure. Right now, currently, our application, our 1023 application, is in process with the IRS, and asking for religious tax exemption wasn't something we were going to do on principle, because we disagree with the notion that that these religious groups or religious entities shouldn't have to pay their taxes. But at the point where you have an administration that's trying to gut the Johnson Amendment, we're feeling that, you know, we're already at a massive disadvantage when we're up against organizations like Liberty Council, the Alliance Defending Freedom, and other such evangelical groups that are really trying to initiate a coup of the United States in the name of theocracy. At that point, we're going to adjust our tactics and try to engage in on their terms, and then take every advantage we can get.
Yeah,
but we'll see. You know, we'll see if we're approved.
And unfortunately, we are actually just about out of time. I can't even tell you how sad I am about that. But I really do appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so much.
Great, thank you. It was great being on.
All right, well, thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. I'm proud to be here on the air with the Minnesota Atheists, and I hope you have enjoyed the show. The show depends on the generous support of our members, sponsors, and donors. Please consider sponsoring the show through the donation link at Minnesota or atheist.org or our Patreon page. This has been Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. All opinions and ideas expressed in today's show are the opinions of the guests and the hosts, and do not necessarily represent the opinions and ideas of Minnesota Atheists.